Hi, this is John Gabriel. Welcome to this call-in day. This is a chance for you to ask questions. Yesterday, we were flooded with questions at the end, absolutely flooded. And this is an opportunity where you can actually call in and talk to me. We decided to add a couple of these one-on-one call-in type sessions so that we could answer as many questions as possible. So if you want to talk to me, call in and press 1. If you press 1, that puts your hand up. We know that you won't have a question. And then my assistant, Shan, will screen you. She'll put you in the queue. She'll send me a text, and we'll talk. We'll go for about an hour. I'll answer as many questions as I can. If there's no callers, then I'll bring my assistant, Dan, in, who has lots of questions that people sent in via chat roll yesterday. So this is for the new you in the new year 5-week intensive that we're doing. We finished our first core lesson yesterday about fat triggers, and as I said, we got lots and lots of questions. So our first caller is Mary from St. Louis. I don't know if we have any other callers yet, so if you have a question, call in, press 1, we'll screen the call, we'll send a text, you can talk to me.
You will
get through. Hi Mary, how are you?
I'm fine. I have a question. I was trying to get myself ready for this, so I juiced for 4 days,
Yeah. And
I did really good. The second day was rough, but the third and fourth was fine. But when I went back to reintroducing food, it was like I went crazy. Yeah. I couldn't control my cravings.
Yeah, I understand.
It was like I was back to my old self.
Let me explain. So what you did was you did a detox juice fast for 4 days. Now,
Right. Juicing
and fasting are a great thing to do for detoxification. They're a great thing to do to reduce inflammation, heal your digestion. But if your other fat triggers have not been turned off yet, then it's a disaster. Then it works against you. Exactly what happened to you is very, very common. That's why we don't ever talk about detoxification until somebody's gone well into the program where they've addressed many of the other triggers. So what I'd like you to do is leave the idea of doing fasting type of detoxification alone completely, but still introduce juices and all the healthy things that will detoxify your body, but eat other foods also. So no restriction, no forced denial. Focus on the action steps that we talk about. Focus on relieving stress, emotional issues, all the other fat triggers. Once those fat triggers are gone, your body's going to want to let go of weight. It's not going to have a rebound. So you definitely jump the gun on that, and that's why. Does that make sense?
It did, and I kind of did it because I was so out of control. And
I,
when I tried to do what the program was today, I just felt so overwhelmed. Like there was so much information out there, yeah. I just was sabotaging myself.
Well, let's talk about let's talk about what the information is that we are. There's a lot of information, and yes, we're going to give you lots of amazing information within this 5-week period. Lots and lots of information, but let's just talk about what we want you to do in terms of action steps over this week. Let's talk about that. So
okay.
If you just look at that, there's not that much to do. So what I would like you to do is I would like you to do an evening visualization at night. It's called the evening visualization. Just press the button
right. As
you're going to sleep. Don't follow along. Let yourself go to sleep. In the morning, I'd like you to do one of the other visualizations, one of the morning visualizations, such as Burn Fat, or Burn Fat Now, or something like that. They're just 10 minutes long. Just sit up in a chair, press the button, listen to the visualization. Don't worry if your mind wanders. I want you to do those morning and evening visualizations. Okay?
Okay.
I want you to drink a lot of water.
Thank you.
Well, let me keep going, Mary.
Okay.
So for this week, I want you to do the morning and evening visualizations. I want you to either drink a lot of water or drink your juices that you were drinking. So drink a lot of water or healthy juices.
Okay.
I would like you to have a salad as much as possible with your meals. Make your meals a salad or have big salads with your meals.
What about the dressings?
Yeah.
I mean,
So I would love
store-bought dressings?
I would love for you to look at the recipe book that came into, if you look in the members area, there's a recipe book, we have salad dressings there. Those salad dressings incorporate really healthy fats, and they're really tasty, and healthy sugars too. So they're great dressings, but they're really healthy, they help reduce inflammation, et cetera, Have as much as you want of those dressings, they're really tasty. But familiarize yourself with those. Also, I'd like you to have, go ahead.
I bought your Whole Foods stuff to put in my drinks.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name
green
of it.
Green Me Up Johnny.
And I've been mixing.
Green Me Up Johnny, yeah.
Pardon me?
It's called Green Me Up Johnny.
Okay, yeah. No, it's the whole ones. It has all different things in it, coconut. And I put it in my Splendid, my smoothies.
That may not be ours, actually. I don't think we have anything with coconut in it. But it's okay.
Oh, I thought I got it from you.
It's okay. So
okay, I was looking for things to add in my smoothies to give me protein.
Protein. Okay. So are you a vegetarian or can you eat animal protein?
I can eat animal protein. I have low blood sugar, so
yeah.
I try.
So you want to have protein?
I have to eat more often.
So try a protein like a protein supplement, like either hemp protein or rice bran protein. Or I don't like pea protein, but it's not bad for you. Or whey protein. Just have a protein supplement. You don't need protein supplements if you're eating a lot of animal proteins with your meals. But for a smoothie, if you want to get protein, the best thing to do is have either chia seeds, hemp seeds, also, and then or a protein powder.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. And then I'll just say to you, Mary, that each week we'll go a little bit further with the action steps, but just stay focused on really simple action steps that you can do for this week, such as the morning, evening visualization, the other things we talked about. Just stay focused on that for now. Okay?
All right. I will do the things that you listed. I wrote them down. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks. Okay. So now we have Megan from Pennsylvania calling.
John, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question for you this evening is, what I would like to gain from your program more than anything, even beyond the weight loss, is reaching a place where this new lifestyle is natural for me, where it's no longer, not even the word deprivation, but just
automatic.
I don't want to struggle.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend the rest of my life constantly feeling like I have to be careful.
Yeah.
And I know you have mentioned that in one of the other programs that I have from you that I've listened to, that you really reached a point where it was just your life. It wasn't a struggle anymore.
Exactly.
I have one tiny little piece of my life where I remember when I was lean, that someone asking me, how do you stay so lean? And I remember that question actually confusing me because I wasn't trying to. It was my life.
Right.
And I don't know where that went, but I would love to feel like that again.
Yeah.
Can you share how you got to that place?
Yeah. I got to that place doing conceptually exactly what we're doing in this 5-week course, and that is by addressing the triggers that were putting me out of whack, that were causing my body to want to hold on to weight, that were causing stresses and inflammations, that were causing my fat programs to get aggravated. So I had a lot of, I was in a very high stress job that wasn't suited for me at all, that I hated. I had a really emotionally challenging, almost abusive working environment that I was in. I was living in New York, which wasn't suited for me either. Some people love it. It wasn't suited for me. I got no sunshine. It was noisy. It was crowded, all these different things. And I went and transitioned into a life that was suited for me, which is what I wanted to do. It wouldn't be suited for everybody, but it was suited for me. And that was, I lived a very simple life where I started growing my own food. I had very low expenses. And I started doing a lot of meditation and visualization, and then started doing some bike rides. Really living a very simple, low stress, sustainable life, and the weight started melting off of me, absolutely melting off of me. And that's when I realized that I had a message for the world, because prior to that, I'd been doing it the same way everybody else did it, which was forcing myself to lose weight, meeting with Dr. Atkins, going to the Pritikin Institute, going to doctor after doctor after doctor that says to me, weight loss is about calories in and calories out, you just have to eat less. And looking at me like, the problem isn't the theory, the problem is you. You're just weak and lazy and out of control.
Right.
I have no compassion for you at all, really, because just stop putting stuff in your mouth. That's really what the message was. But that message wasn't working for me. It just wasn't. I could stop putting stuff in my mouth for a little while, but not forever. I just couldn't. And that's reality. And my body was forcing me to gain weight. So when I transitioned into a life that was more suited for me, when I started reducing stress and felt more sustainable, more protected, I also started having smoothies with flax seeds. They didn't have chia seeds at the time. But with omega-3s and probiotics, and I had lots of salads, and I healed my digestion. At the very end, I went on a detox. It was at the very, very end. The weight just melted off of me, It was 10 years ago. I never have to think about it again. So what we're trying to do in this 5 weeks is create that for you by looking at all those different triggers. What's wrong with your digestion? Digestion is the biggest component in weight, I'm finding, even in stress. So when your digestion's out of whack, you get stress. Stress causes you to gain weight. Then the week after, we're talking about emotional issues and chronic stress and lots of and other things as we go to get to a place where step by step, systematically, you're addressing all these peripheral issues that are around the main issue that are causing your body to want to hold on to weight. And then you get back to that exact place that you were at, which is automatic. Because if you don't address the real issues, you just can't fight your body. You can't. I lived through that, and I know that, and I'm always very careful. You know, there was a period of time about four or five months ago, where I had a boating accident right out here. I stepped on I was on my paddleboard, and I fell off, and I stepped on a rock. The rock had a seashell in it. I thought we got the seashells out. The seashells stayed in my system, and it caused a chronic low-grade inflammation. And all of a sudden, I'm noticing I'm hungry again in a way that I hadn't been for 10 years. And I put on a pound or two, which I hadn't done for 10 years. I got really, really concerned, but it was a chronic inflammation. It was a chronic stress that I just imposed on my body. I had to get surgery to get the stitches out. It was a long drawn out thing, or to get the shells out of a long drawn out thing. But I had a renewed feeling and memory for what it's like to be in a body that's hungry and forcing you to eat. And I was really concerned.
Interesting.
But the thing is, there's no mystery and magic to it. Everybody has chronic low-grade stress and inflammation. And for some of us, that activates our fat programs. So the whole point is systematically, step by step, to create habits that are in place that will, over time, reduce inflammation, reduce stress, and make weight loss sustainable. That's exactly what we're trying to do. Simple habits like listening to visualization as soon as you get up in the morning. It's the best thing you can possibly do. Just 10 minutes long, it'll rewire your brain chemistry. Your stress responses will change. Your stress hormones will change. Simple strategies for detoxifying your body, hydrating your body, getting good, improving your digestion, stabilizing your blood sugar. That's what we're doing step by step over this 5 week period. Does that make sense?
It does. And I cannot thank you enough.
Yeah.
I have very high expectations for where all this is going. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. I would say to you, be very patient because changing habits takes time. Don't look at the scales because it's not until you've got the habits in place and you've made some headway before the weight comes off. But when it does come off, it starts coming off very quickly. But there's groundwork that needs to be laid. There's a foundation that needs to be laid before you get to that place. So be really patient with yourself, okay?
Thank you so much, John.
My pleasure. Take care. Okay, our next caller is Marigold from New York.
Hey, John, it's Marisol.
Oh, Marisol.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here.
Thanks.
Good to hear you again.
Nice to talk to you.
So, you know, the last couple questions actually are completely related to where my mind's been. The overall question is, you know, how do you know when you've healed your low-grade stressors?
Marisol, you know because you're not hungry anymore, you're not lethargic, you know, you have energy, you're forgetting about eating. When you are eating, you're craving. You have some salad and some protein and something. You're not hungry. You know, that's it. That's enough. You don't need anything. You don't need a scale. You don't need a blood test. When that changes, you absolutely know it. Your whole energy system changes.
Okay.
You know what happens, basically? Well, let me just explain. What happens is,
sure.
when you're experiencing chronic low-grade stress or chronic low-grade inflammation, your body is in an emergency state. It's not, and when your body's in an emergency state, it is not in a reparative energetic state. So your body is diverting energy toward whatever the inflammatory issue is. It's slowing down. It's needing lots of junk food. All of these different things, and the cells are not repairing, and the regenerative hormones are not being activated in your body and not being secreted into your bloodstream. So you're in an emergency state. When you get out of that state, you know it. Your whole demeanor changes. You start thinking more about the fun of life instead of it being drudgery. You want to go out and do something energetic and exciting just because you can. It's not about food and sitting at home and just watching TV anymore. You get out of this emergency state and you know it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not really, how important is it to really put your finger on what the stressors are versus just do these action plans,
yeah.
do the visualizations, because they're kind of hitting all of them across the board,
yeah.
and just wait for all of this magic to, like, unfold.
Yes, yes.
Because I keep finding myself being like, well, am I fully there? Like, have
yeah.
I, because the first question from Marianne with the detox, like, I've done work over the years with my mom's death and all those things that, you know, I've shared with you. And I did the detox, and, you know, I've been losing since. Like, my body
That's
has
great.
Definitely been letting go of weight. I've lost 23 pounds since November.
That's fabulous.
I have way more to go.
That's
I have
okay.
45 more pounds to go.
That's great.
But so that sort of tells me from your earlier answer that, like, a lot of that stuff maybe isn't a healing place. Even though today I actually for the first time really craved the pizza my daughter was eating, which shocked me.
That's okay.
I was like, wait, I haven't wanted any of this for so long.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay, because it can go in waves too. But the trend for you is that you're addressing the issues and it's happening for you. And even if you stabilize, like when I lost weight, I lost, like, I remember one, like I lost 25 or 50 pounds. And then I went through like a 2 or 3 month period where I didn't lose anything. But I didn't even think about it, because believe it or not, when I was losing my weight, it wasn't about weight loss for me, because I was sick of the whole issue. I had tried losing weight so many times, I was over the issue. I just didn't want to gain anymore, and I wanted to take care of my body. And I wanted to live a little too, because I didn't know how much longer I'd be around, and I just escaped death from a near death from having almost been on one of the planes in 9/11. So I just
yeah.
wanted to live a little, you know, and but the weight was falling off me. But there were 2-3 month periods where nothing was happening, but I didn't stress about that because I wasn't thinking about it. But then what would happen is, so I'd lose the weight, I'd have this like 2-3 month plateau, and then boom, I'd drop another 50, have another 2-3 month plateau. So it was like these quantum leaps were happening. So, and I found that with
right.
other people now. So it's not like, you know, with Weight Watchers, you weigh yourself every day and you want to lose a half a pound a day or whatever it is. It doesn't work that way in the real world, you know, when your body's really working with you. You lose some weight, your body feels the new weight. Is it safe? Is it a comfortable weight? Are these stresses still here? Do I have to respond to them? Some are come back. They come and go. Your body might say, well, hold on a second. And then your body will let go some more. You get to a place where over a 6 month period of having omega-3s, for example, all the cells of your body get coated with this really permeable fat that becomes very sensitive to insulin and leptin. So insulin levels go down. And when your insulin levels go down, it means your fat-burning hormones can get elevated. And then so it builds on itself. And you are doing everything, Marisol. You are doing everything perfectly, as far as I'm concerned. Understand the process. It's a gradual, gentle process that sometimes has quantum leaps. But you don't have to worry about anything. You are getting healthier, and you're losing weight the right way.
Oh, thank you so much. So don't create the stress over the stress.
No, and you know,
right? Don't worry about what you might be stressed about.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. You know, pizza is always a thing for me. I'll never let go of that. The crust doesn't attract me anymore at all. So I still eat pizza, but I just don't like the crust. I don't like the dough anymore, the crust. I'll use either a different one made out of chia bran or like an egg base, like the one that's in our recipe book. Or I'll go, if I'm a pizza place, I'll get a really yummy pizza, like with lots of incredible toppings, lots of chicken, lots of vegetables and onions and garlic, and maybe goat cheese. I will take all those toppings and put it on top of a salad. And I find that to be incredibly satisfying. So something to think about.
And do you go towards goat cheese because that's more in the raw camp, or because I've noticed you mentioned goat a lot?
Yeah, goat's a little bit healthier to digest than cow's milk cheese. So I do. I'm getting more and more off of anything that's not raw anyway. Just finding that's where my body's going. But if I'm out, I'll still have some cheese on the pizza. I'm not gonna make a big deal out of it. But if I can get goat cheese, I might take that. I definitely prefer that.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you have a lot of other callers. I might get back in the queue. I don't know if you have anyone else, because I have another question. But
ask me the question. I have a few more. I have three more callers at the moment. But go ahead and ask me the question.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because as I thought about the pizza today, I know that egg is one of the bases that you use. And the one thing, as you know, coming off the detox, I was going gluten and dairy-free to try to see about reversing the rosacea and hypothyroidism. And I noticed, I mean, this is the cleanest I've eaten in forever. And I noticed that my rosacea would act out. And I knew I wasn't having the known trigger of citrus. So the only dairy that I allowed myself to have because I craved it, I didn't want to be in a deprivation state, was egg. So
egg isn't dairy.
Egg is not dairy. Exactly. That's the only one that I was like, okay, this one I'm going to do and let's see what happens. But I feel like I'm starting to tie when I eat egg that my rosacea gets exacerbated.
All right. So you know your body. So, my intuition, Maricel, tells me that your rosacea, even though we always place a chemical aspect, there's always a chemical, physical aspect to every disease. They're also stress related, and my sense is that the more you work through some of the issues, emotional issues and stress issues, the better your skin's gonna respond. It's just a feeling. I can't substantiate it. It's just a feeling that comes to me.
So, sure. So do I lay off of those things that I am suspecting, or as it gets resolved, will I be able to have egg and citrus and things down the line?
I don't know, but I do know that there's lots of illnesses out there that people say are incurable, like Hashimoto's disease, where your immune system attacks your thyroid, that people have cured by reducing stress, emotional issues, and healing digestion, which are things that you're doing. So I do think we're all kind of in uncharted territory here, because nobody's telling us to do these things and we got to figure them out. But there's certainly a very, very good chance that the issue will go away or can go away by healing yourself in a mind-body way the way you're doing.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much, John. Love
it. Take care. Nice to talk to you. Okay. Let's talk to Andrea in Tennessee, please.
Hi, John. This is Andrea. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Okay, I have a couple questions. One is about beans. How do you feel about beans as protein?
So I don't feel that beans are a great source of protein, because even though they have protein, they've got as much starch as they have protein. And for a lot of people losing weight, they're very intolerant of starches, because it causes insulin resistance and elevated insulin levels, and then insulin's the fat-making hormone, and it causes your body to go into fat-burning mode. However, I do love sprouted beans. Sprouted chickpeas, sprouted mung beans, all those different sprouted beans, and sprouted lentils. I will have them in my salad in bucket loads, full of protein, full of nutrients. They just don't have the starch.
Okay.
And they're also very affordable too. They're not expensive, and they're usually organic. If you don't want, you can do it yourself. But if you don't want to do it yourself, you can buy them. They're pretty cheap and they're organic. Put loads of beans, sprouted beans, legumes or sprouted legumes into your salad. It's a really good alternative.
Okay. What about soups? Do you have any feeling about soups?
I love soups. Most of my soups have usually animal protein and lots of vegetables. The only vegetables I'll stay away from are potatoes and sweet potatoes and yams, because I find number one, I don't crave them at all, and I find that starch feeling to be like it immediately my body responds to it in a negative way. I get tired, I get lethargic, I crave sweets. It just doesn't work for me at all. But I'll put lots and lots of onions and garlic and broccoli and cauliflower, any types of other vegetables in there with chicken, for example. I love soups like that. There's a really good. I don't know if it's still around, but do they still have Daily Soup? Oh, you're in Tennessee, but in New York there used to be this place called the Daily Soup that just took over. It was everywhere, and they came out with a recipe book, and there's some really good recipes for soups in that one. It's called the Daily Soup.
Okay.
It's worth looking at. Worth looking into.
Right. Yeah. I'll look for it. How do you feel about alkaline or ionized water?
Yeah, so if the water is being alkaline because you're putting calcium, how is it being alkalized?
Well, it's run through plates and ionized electronically.
That's good. I'm happy with that. I think that's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just don't like the chemicals because
what happens is your body doesn't absorb the chemicals properly, and they end up as being calcium deposits in your joints, which causes inflammation, which causes you to gain weight. So it actually works in the exact reverse of what's supposed to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And the other question is, I work weird hours, so
yeah.
I work from like 11:30 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, and
yeah.
my eating schedule is totally messed up because of that. I eat lunch at like 3:30, and I can eat breakfast anywhere from, 7 o'clock in the morning till 11 before I go on. Do you have any suggestions?
Why do you wait
when I get off?
So you'll have breakfast anywhere from 7 to 11? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it depends. It just depends.
And then you won't be able to eat till 3?
I eat lunch around 3:30.
Is that because you have a break at 3:30?
I have my break at 3:30, which is a half an hour, and trying to stuff a big salad down in half an hour is
Have some snack balls. Let me just make a suggestion. So if you look in the recipe book, we've got these little snack balls, and nut and seed snack balls.
Mm-hmm.
Can you have them with you in your desk and just kind of munch on them every hour or so, or like every couple hours?
I can do it. I'm on the phone all day, so I have to do it when I'm not actually talking to somebody.
All right, how about this? How about a protein, like a green smoothie with some protein in it, that maybe you make a liter of it, and you take it with you with a straw, and it's on your desk, and in between calls you can have a little sip of it.
Yeah, I actually do the Hungry for Change people. Their green.
Oh, I like that one. It's
plus
beautiful.
their protein.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Together.
Yeah, I do that
so.
Too. I like that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I do in the morning usually.
What I'm suggesting is you take it with you to work, and you have it on your desk, and in between calls you got to dial calls or whatever. You just take a quick sip, so just to keep some nutrition going in, so that your blood sugar doesn't fall too low.
Okay.
All
right. And you really shouldn't eat like right before you go to bed, though, right? So if I just need to have a snack around 6 something.
Well, what time do you have dinner?
Maybe. Well, I don't usually. That's my problem.
So what do you do
at night? I have lunch at 3:30 and then snack.
What time do you snack?
Six-ish.
That's fine.
That's my next break after the 3:34. And then when I get off of work, which is at 8, I might have a little something, but I try not to eat too late.
What time do you go to sleep?
Obviously. Well, that also depends. Sometimes 10 to 11, 11:30.
All right, so I'm suggesting that you take stuff with you to work, so like a liter of green juice or a liter of that smoothie type of thing, and have it throughout the day. It's going to take care of the problem. Your problem is that your blood sugar's you're going too long, your blood sugar's too low by the time you eat. Then you eat too fast, it causes your blood sugar to soar, and then your blood sugar is just fluctuating all over the place. So take that with you to work and sip it. Have something you can sip or eat that's healthy, that'll keep your blood, nourish you, that's got protein, omega-3s, live food, to keep your blood sugar stable and nourish you, and you shouldn't have problems.
Okay. All right, great. Thanks so much, John. Appreciate
it. My pleasure. Okay, take care.
All righty. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nancy from Pennsylvania, please.
Hi, John.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, John. I have a couple questions. My main one is I am pre-diabetic, so I've been watching my blood sugars.
Yeah.
And I have this dawn syndrome, I guess they call it, where I'll go to sleep, I'll check my blood, and then I'll go to sleep, and I wake up, and my blood sugar is higher.
Yeah.
I guess the liver is releasing glucose while I'm sleeping because my blood sugar goes down. And they put me on some metformin and then even some delayed release metformin.
Yeah.
I've also tried setting my alarm and eating some cheese or something like that in the middle of the night. But I was just wondering if there's something else I could do, because it's just, I'm trying to exercise.
Yeah, so all right, so let me explain. Let me explain. So really what you need to do is you need to reverse insulin resistance. You need the cells of your body to be more sensitive to insulin. That's what you need, right? Do you understand?
Right.
Okay, you understand. Okay. Every single suggestion that I make, and I'm serious, every single suggestion I make over the next 5 weeks, I make because it will make the cells of your body more sensitive to insulin. Every single one. No exception. So we become insulin resistant, that is, our cells lose the sensitivity to insulin for several reasons, including mental and emotional stress, because that activates cortisol, which causes insulin resistance. It activates pro-inflammatory cytokines, which causes insulin resistance. Healing your digestion, nourishing your body with the foods, everything, every single thing. And I can tell you that I don't even know how many people I have worked with that had type 2 diabetes that do not have it anymore. That is, they have reversed insulin resistance. The very first lady I ever worked with, it was after, this was back in 2000 and I don't know, 6 or 2007. I was on TV, I hadn't finished writing the book yet. This lady called me and said, I really want your book. I said, it's not out yet. She called me every couple of months. Finally, I sent her a draft of the book. And she called me back 6 months later. She said she was 69 years old. She had very, very bad type 2 diabetes. Her blood sugar was like at 1920 when it should be down around the 5-6 range. She was overweight. She lost 113 pounds. Her blood sugar is now at 5 and 6. And that was the first time I heard that you could reduce or reverse type 2 diabetes or insulin resistance this way, but then it made perfect sense to me, because that's really what we're trying to do, is reverse insulin resistance so that your insulin levels lower, so that your body can burn fat, so your blood sugar stabilizes, all of these different things. So the answer to your question is follow this program as I'm outlining it, including the visualizations, including the probiotics, all the different things that we're talking about. And it will, over time, over a six-month period, that's how long it'll take, approximately, over a six-month period, the cells of your body will regain sensitivity to insulin, and work with your doctor to see if he can wean you off the medication, to keep testing, et cetera, et cetera. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I just get a little frustrated because I've been doing, you know, what I think I should, you know, I did the detox with you at the end of the year last year,
yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be nicer to myself and reduce all kinds of different stress.
Are you doing the visualizations?
I have one.
Are you doing the visualizations?
I am.
Okay. So just be a little bit patient. I'm telling you, it's going to take six. This is not, look, this is, you have to understand how the body works and how insulin resistance works. So there's certain things that cause insulin resistance that can be eliminated quickly, but other things take time. For example, every cell of your body is covered with a layer of fat called a phospholipid bilayer. When we take the wrong fats in, which are refined vegetable oils, deep fried saturated fats, things like that, our cells get covered with a layer of fat that is insensitive to hormones, and so our hormones don't communicate well, and that causes depression, bipolar disease, and cause cancer, and cause all kinds of problems, including type 2 diabetes. That takes a long time. It takes a long time to recoat the cells of your body with healthy fats. So it's not going to happen overnight, but it is going to happen if you can be patient and understand the process of what's happening and why it's happening.
Okay, well, that makes sense, because in the past when I have lost weight, as you were talking about earlier, I do have those quantum leaps of weight loss. So it seems like the body's busy doing something, and then boom.
Yeah.
You know,
the body's busy reversing insulin resistance. And then once it does, what happens is, once your insulin levels get low enough, you see, insulin will not let your body let your liver secrete fat-burning hormones. So the main fat-burning hormone is something called glucagon. and it and is produced through the liver, and your body will not let or it, your body will not produce glucagon as long as your insulin levels are elevated. And when you have insulin resistance, your insulin levels are elevated because your body doesn't want to be in fat burning mode and fat making mode at the same time. It doesn't make sense to your body. So insulin's a fat making hormone. So if you've got insulin in your system, you're in fat making mode. So by having insulin resistance, it means you've got elevated insulin levels and you're perpetually in fat making mode. Once you reverse that, your insulin levels get low enough so your body can secrete glucagon, the fat burning hormone, and your body regains the ability to burn fat. And that's when you have a big quantum leap. That make sense?
Yes, it does. Okay. Well, cool. Thank you very much. Right. And I know I've been told I need to be more patient.
It's a process.
All the effort.
It is a process of changing yourself chemically and cellularly from the inside out. And that you didn't. Right. This condition didn't happen overnight. It happened gradually through years and years of stress and toxic foods and the wrong fats and all those type of things and digestive problems. It didn't happen overnight. It takes a while to undo it.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Okay. Let's see.
Okay, take care.
Take care. Who do we have next?
Thanks.
David from North Carolina? Okay. David from North Carolina, please.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, so I bought your book about 2 or 3 weeks ago and read it, and I've been doing the kind of start of the program for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. I feel great. I don't really have a weight problem. I'm doing this to be more healthy.
Yeah.
I've been an on and off low carb eater for a really long time, and so as I've gotten older, that's sort of become less and less effective for me, and I don't feel as well in it. And so I probably only have 10 or 15 pounds that I probably am carrying, and I do exercise a lot. So I really wanted to just get some of the distinctions of the program from you.
Yeah. So
I just have a couple questions.
Okay. So go ahead. Go ahead and ask the questions, and then I have a couple things I want to say.
Yeah. So I've been doing the meditations. I've been doing the meditations at night before I fall asleep, and generally I fall asleep during the meditations, the nighttime meditation. And I just wondered if that is something that is normal, or if
yes,
I mean, I really
yes.
have had trouble yeah. with a couple of meditations of staying awake.
Yeah, no. The point of the evening visualization is for you to fall asleep. There's actually a frequency following response in the back of the music that steps you into the sleep state. So the sleep it starts at the normal waking state of beta, and then it steps down to what they call the alpha state, the theta state, and the delta state. At the end, you're at your deep, deep sleep state is what the frequency is going on in the music. It's geared to put you into a very deep sleep. So don't worry about when you're falling asleep, you're still going to get all the positive benefits of the visualization because your mind's very receptive at that stage. So it's kind of like a win-win scenario.
Got it. So during the other meditations during the day, I can't tell when I'm in smart mode.
Yeah.
I wondered if there's are there markers where you
yeah.
can understand that you're actually in it,
yeah, so
or does it matter?
It well, yes and no. It matters in the sense that it is beneficial to be in that state. It doesn't matter in the sense that whether you know or not isn't going to change anything. In other words, knowing you're not in it isn't going to get you.
Okay.
But the difference, what you will find when you're in the middle of a visualization is when you're getting into the alpha and theta states, you find that your body's not fidgety. So you won't have the tendency,
okay.
you won't want to like scratch or break out, your body's not going to want to move. And then your mind's going to start to, and then when you get into a deeper state, your mind's not going to want to wander. That's a deeper state of smart mode. So when you're in those states, either your body isn't fidgety, it doesn't want to move, or your mind starts to become calmer, then you're in those states.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it. One of my other questions was, I actually own a brewery.
Yeah.
I have a little microbrewery here in town, and what kind of havoc is a moderate amount of beer once or twice a week going to have on what we're doing?
I don't think havoc is the word I would use at all. I don't think it's the predominant reason
okay.
why your body's a little bit more resistant to being as fit as you'd like it to be. I'm sure it's something that you've
yeah.
always done anyway. So I wouldn't.
Correct.
Yeah. So I wouldn't focus too much on that. No, I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay. And then one of my other questions are things like oatmeal versus, I've been having quinoa at lunch a lot.
Yeah.
There's an organic place near me that makes these amazing quinoa bowls with avocados and omega-3 oil and flaxseed and all sorts of things in it. And they're really great.
Yeah.
But what's the difference between that and what, like, oatmeal in the morning would do? I've tried not to have them on the same day.
Yeah, so oatmeal is going to elevate your insulin levels more. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
Yeah. And it might be slightly inflammatory also, oatmeal. It's not that bad, but it might be slightly inflammatory. But the biggest thing is going to elevate your insulin levels more. So we have kind of a muesli. Okay. In the recipe book, we don't even use quinoa. I just don't like the taste of quinoa. This doesn't do anything for me. And it's still going to elevate your insulin levels. Whereas if you have like a muesli that's made out of nuts and seeds, that's just healthy fats.
Yeah.
There's nothing in there that's starchy that's gonna elevate your insulin level. So you might want to check the recipe book for some of the. I think we got a recipe for muesli in there that you might want to play around with. Yeah.
Great. Okay. My last question was. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, you go ahead, and then I want to say something. Go ahead.
Okay. My last question was about Truvia, the stevia-based sweetener.
Yeah.
And I know you had recommended xylitol in the book and in this program, but. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Truvia is something else too. It's xylitol and what else? I forget now.
Stevia.
I mean stevia, and but there's something else in it. It's stevia and something else. I think erythritol, a couple of other sugar alcohols. I think I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But I remember looking at it and thinking that it was not that bad. A lot of people are against the sugar alcohols such as xylitol and erythritol now. Because
right.
It's highly processed, and it can cause some bloating, and they're not really sure about the metabolic process of how sugar alcohol gets metabolized, whether that's healthy or not. So they're a little bit controversial, and I've sort of gone to more of stevia and coconut palm sugar. So a combination of stevia and coconut palm sugar works really well for me as a sugar, and I find that coconut palm sugars are really really easy to digest.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I'm excited to be doing this.
My pleasure. And I would just suggest to you that next week when we get into the digestion and then when we have the class with Donna Gates, I'd pay really, really close attention there because I think you're going to get the most mileage for your situation and everything you're doing by improving fermented foods and improving the intestinal flora and detoxifying some of the unfriendly bacteria in your body. I think these are things that are common to all of us. But you're doing a lot of things really positive, and I think you'll get a really good bang for the buck on that.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you so much, John.
My pleasure. Take care. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Let's talk to Gloria in Toronto.
Hello, John.
Hi, Gloria.
Hi. Thank you for this wonderful program. Totally love your visualizations. They're some of the best I've ever done.
Thanks.
And I'm relatively new to this program, although I have had the book kicking around for the last since it came out. And I'm just really glad you're doing this program because it just makes the book come alive.
Excellent.
And so I've read it cover to cover, and I've listened to a lot of the visualizations. And my question is, I always did very, very well on low carb, like instantaneous results on low carb. And now that I'm older, I'm doing lousy on it, frankly. And I'm finding that I'm getting depressed on it. Now, it's probably because in Canada we have brutal, brutal winters. So it's probably the combination of the bad weather, cold and frigid temperatures, and then a more type of a paleo diet. What can I do? Because if my head is together and I'm feeling good up there, I can do anything for my body. But if I'm not feeling good in my head, then, of course, I just want the carbs, and it gets me through my day, which is, of course, a really important thing. I have to get through what I'm doing.
It's not just your head, though. This is the important point, is that there's something that's triggering this. It's not like you don't feel good in your head and you crave carbs. What usually happens is there's some stress response that's making you crave carbs and also making you feel not good in your head and tired and weak. Do you understand? So just focusing on the head thing is probably not getting to the root cause. Let me ask you a question. How old are you?
Just turned 60 this summer, but I'm really, really active, and for 25 years I was a ballerina from the age of 15 to like 36, 37. So I found it was after that, when I had a child, that I gained like 75 pounds. And I was very chubby as a child. That's why I started in dance. So I have my, you know, grandmother died 3 days before I was born of diabetes, and then I was born, and I became a ballet dancer. And so it was great for all those years, but I was a very fat kid. And then when I retired from dance, I started gaining weight quite quickly. I didn't have really a intermission
But what you're saying is you got good success going low carb, but all of a sudden you're not getting that success anymore. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when did you go through menopause?
Late.
Yeah. So my question.
Not that long ago.
So So I'm guessing it's menopause related. And because the menopause can change your hormones, so you've had a hormonal shift in your body, and that's what's causing the problem. So your body's not reacting as well as it was. So that needs to be addressed. And I would like to direct you to a couple of resources, to help get your hormones levels checked, and to help with some natural solutions for hormone balancing. So one of them is
I've tried no medical.
I'm sorry?
I've tried bioidentical hormones.
Yeah,
I've done bioidentical hormones.
All right, let me just say this. There's a right way and a wrong way to do bioidentical hormones, and I'm not necessarily suggesting bioidentical hormones anyway, but I do want to refer you to what I consider the greatest holistic minds in the field of natural hormone balancing. That doesn't necessarily mean bioidentical hormones. It means natural hormone balancing. So
wonderful.
Okay. So one of them is Dr. Sarah Gottfried. You can do a Google search, or
I know her.
Okay. So Dr. Sarah Gottfried.
I know her. Yeah.
And also Dr. Howard Leibowitz, who contributed. I interviewed for this member site. There's an interview with him. Both of them are people that you can reach out to and communicate with, and see if you can get blood work done, if you can get some kind of analysis. And they're going to give you what's missing. Another really good one is Calton Nutrition, C-A-L-T-O-N, Calton Nutrition. They've got some really good nutritional supplements that I think might be really beneficial for you also. They're also in I interviewed them for our support group. And I don't know if you're in the support group, but there's an interview with them. But you can go on to Calton, C-A-L-T-O-N, Nutrition. And check out their nutritional supplements. These little things you might need extra nutrients. There's some specific ones that you might need, but certain things, all three of those experts can help figure out what it is that you need to naturally balance your hormones.
Okay. So you think, and how about? Do you think that's what leads to the kind of depression that sets in at this time of year? Because it's always this time of year that we start back on a really a dynamic food nutrition program. So I just don't like having the result of not feeling good about what I'm doing and not experiencing results.
The depression could be the fact that it's cold and you're not getting enough sunlight. The not getting the same results part of it is because of the hormonal shift. Do you understand?
Okay, well, that's great. Yeah. Into those two different things. Exactly. Yeah. I think I just need to move into a sunny...
That would be great.
Sunnier residence, couple months a year.
That would be great, but there might be some other things, specific things that you need in the form of nutrient help, probiotic help, just something, but I would get either some blood work done or some analysis from any of those three sources, because I think they're really the best in terms of like natural holistic health.
Thank you, John.
All right, my pleasure. Okay, let's talk to Donna from Maine.
Hi, John.
Hi, Donna.
You were talking earlier about low-grade stressors.
Yeah. Yes.
And I love the program, but I'm concerned. I had chronic aggressive tumors in my legs for like the last 41 years. I'm 51.
Yeah.
And I've had a weight problem probably for about 25 of those years.
Yeah.
And it's just been, you know, keeps creeping up.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, surgeries. But I'm just wondering if, like, the visualizations and the action steps would, like, help overcome. Because, like, right now there's still, like, existing tumors.
Right. So,
you know,
so
small ones they can't.
So the way visualizations can help you is a couple of ways. One is, as you lower the overall stress in your body through this entire mind-body approach, through nourishing your body, healing digestion, reducing toxins, and also reducing mental and emotional stress, as you lower the overall stress in your body starts to repair it and heal itself better. So one of the reasons why we can't defend ourselves against things like cancers and tumors is that our reparative hormones are not being activated because we're in a chronic stress state. So this whole program will take you out of a chronic stress state and help you get to a place where your cells can repair themselves and you can heal yourself. The other thing I would say is that there are many, many documented cases of both children and adults that have helped put their cancer in remission, reduce sizes of tumors, make them go away through actually specifically visualizing the tumors going away. So I read an interview by one lady where she imagined the tumors popping like stars. She imagined these yellow stars going through her body, the tumors popping, and then water just flushing them away. And she was able to, and she had a really serious form of cancer, she was able to heal herself. You hear stories like this all the time. Who knows what the body's capable of, but I would say when you're doing your visualizations, you might as well give it a try of doing that image of imagining these like healing yellow stars going through your legs, popping the tumors and water just flushing them away. Can you try that?
Excellent. Yes, I can do that.
Excellent. Okay. And then the rest of the suggestions, yeah, they're going to help strengthen your immune system and increase reparative hormones that are in your body.
Great. Sounds good to me.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. So let's talk to Leanne in Queensland.
Hi, John.
Hi, Leanne. How are you?
Good. Thank you. My first question is about that response that when you start trying to lose weight, you instantly find that you crave more and that you want to binge more and it's harder and harder to resist.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how we can sort of engage with the Gabriel Method and this program and avoid that happening.
Yeah, so for starters, the way to engage with it is by focusing on adding. And what I mean by that is adding healthy things. For example, you know, I was speaking to Donna Gates this morning because she's coming. She's actually coming to Brisbane next month, and she's doing a workshop, and I'm gonna go in as a guest lecturer. So I was speaking to her this morning, and she said that eating sour foods makes you no longer crave sweet foods. And the reason why eating sour foods makes you no longer crave sweet foods is that sour foods are usually fermented and full of healthy bacteria. And the healthy bacteria then thrive on those foods, and you're creating healthy bacteria in your stomach, but it's the unhealthy bacteria that cause the sugar cravings. So by adding the healthy bacteria, you're beating out the unhealthy bacteria. So that's just one example, but the focus should always be on adding. Don't worry too much in the beginning if you're still craving this, you're still craving that, because if you try to do it in terms of deprivation, maybe you'll lose a couple of pounds a little bit quicker, but then you go to war with your body and then you gain them back and then you're discouraged and then you quit the whole thing and it doesn't work and blah, blah, blah. So whatever you're craving, fine, eat it consciously, patient, you know, in a conscious kind of relaxed manner. Don't have good days and bad days, but make sure you're eating lots of fermented foods, lots of live foods like salads, lots of sprouts, lots of omega-3s, lots of animal proteins, green juices. Keep adding. Make sure you're doing the visualization. So keep the focus always on adding. And over time, maybe it's not going to happen immediately, but over time, you will naturally stop craving the other things. I know this because I lived through it,
okay.
And I've seen thousands of other people in the exact same situation. You got to give your body a chance to get healthy and to function properly hormonally and cellularly, and then it just totally discards the unhealthy foods.
So what should I do in that moment when I am craving things that I know are not good choices?
You should eat them. Slowly, consciously, but make sure that maybe before that you've nourished your body properly, because sometimes we go too long without eating, we're not eating the right foods, our blood sugar's all over the place, and we're craving them because we're not managing our blood sugar and nourishing our body properly. So do make sure that you're following the action steps of drinking lots of water, having the probiotics, having fermented foods when you can, having lots of salads, having lots of juices, have all those things. And if you're still craving it, then fine, have what you're craving. I would also suggest to you, where are you located in Queensland?
Cairns.
Okay, I don't know Cairns too well, but I know it's, I would suggest...
Very hot and humid.
No, I know, I was up there a few months ago. I just don't know it too well, a lot of bats too. But if you familiarize yourself, if there's any health food stores, raw food places, for things like raw chocolates, or if you make some of the snacks that are in our recipe book that are made out of energy balls, that are made out of nuts and seeds, if you can, flax crackers as dips, familiarize yourself with healthy snacks. You can make ice creams out of frozen bananas and coconut milk and things like that. Familiarize yourself with healthy snacks and try to add some of those when you're hungry also. That works really well as a transition.
Okay, sure. You mentioned fermented foods. What would that be?
So fermented foods are foods like, okay, so sauerkraut, kimchi, miso, tamari, which is like a fermented soy sauce, tempeh, which is fermented soy. Most soy isn't good, but fermented soy is good. Nutritional yeast. You can also ferment pickles and vegetables, and you can even ferment meat, but the fermenting process, as we'll talk about next week, causes friendly bacteria. Yogurts and kefirs, especially kefirs made out of coconut water or almond or nut and seed milk, making yogurt or out of coconut or nut and seeds. These type of things all have friendly bacteria in it, and those friendly bacteria are really responsible to a large extent to overall health, weight loss, but also reducing sugar cravings. There's a really good site called culturedfoodlife.com. Donna Schwank, I interviewed her recently. She's got a site, there's 400 different recipes, cultured fermented food recipes. Check out her site and you'll get a feel for some of the fermented foods. Sprouts are also fermented. Okay,
fantastic. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And just my last question. I just often feel incredibly tired and weak. Now, I work shift work, so that kind of explains it to an extent, but that's my life, so I've got to move past that and get over it. Just in terms of boosting energy, like what to do?
So all of the suggestions that we have here are going to boost your energy over time, nourishing your body, healing your digestion, reducing stress, they're all going to boost your energy. I just want to check also, do you know if you have sleep apnea? How much weight are you looking to lose?
I do not.
You do not have sleep apnea, or you do not know?
I do not have it. I've checked.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay. So that's important. Emotional issues can cause you to be chronically exhausted and overwhelmed too, so I would investigate that area also. But everything we're doing is really about about energizing your body at every level, cellularly, hormonally, physically, mentally, emotionally. So let's give it some time, let's work together, and let's see what happens over the next few months, okay?
Fantastic. Thanks, John.
My pleasure. Okay. Let's see. I've got one last question from Jen in Colorado, and then I've got a text here that says, Okay. So we're just at an hour. We'll go a few more minutes to make sure we can answer all the questions. I've got Jen in Colorado. Aaron, I don't understand this last text that Shan sent me about a question from Mary, so I don't know what that's about, so maybe you can let me know. Okay, so let's take Jen.
Hi, John. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Actually pretty nervous to ask the question. I posted my question online a little bit earlier. I've been dieting for 35 years,
yeah,
since I was 8 years old, and I've tried a lot of programs, and usually I get really excited about them when I start them,
yeah,
but I'm noticing that I'm incredibly nervous with this program.
Yeah.
I committed that I was going to try the New Year program a few weeks ago, and I've had so much anxiety since. In fact, I've gained 7 pounds last night during the webinar, and this evening, even just listening to you, my heart rate is high,
yeah,
my gut is wrenching.
I get it.
Part of me is like, okay, I think my body's telling me I'm finally going to address what I need to address, and I'm scared.
That's what I'm feeling.
And I'm just wondering, you know, if you have any recommendations on things to focus on, because I don't want to self-sabotage. I've done that for years, but
sure.
Just some guidance.
Yeah.
So you
had a weight problem when you were 8 years old. Is that why you went on a diet, or did your mom just put you on a diet before you had a weight problem?
Yeah.
You,
no.
You had a weight problem.
I did have one, and I come from a family, a 100 years of intense obesity on my father's side. You know, and so this started when I was 8, but now I'm about 120 pounds overweight.
Do you know if there's any? Was there any emotional issues that could have triggered things before? When you were younger?
I don't know. I mean, I remember, you know, like most kids at that age, when you're a little chubby, and that's all I was a little chubby, you know, some teasing and things like that, but nothing significant that I remember. And I don't think of one particular incident that I can blame at any point in time in my life. I've certainly had some really challenging periods in my life.
But not before you were 8, right? What about before you were 8?
No.
What about any kind of sicknesses or illnesses? Any infections? You had to take antibiotics?
Most definitely. I have celiac disease. I've been fanatically gluten-free for 7 years.
Okay, so
I have Hashimoto's.
Yeah, these are all digestion issues. Hashimoto's, celiac disease, is all digestion. 100%
yeah,
all digestion. So, and I'm guessing if you've got a long line in your family that this is a digestion, that your digestive flora is something that you've inherited, a certain pattern in your digestive flora. So
yeah,
digestion is really a key for you. The fact that you're so nervous, though, to me indicates that there's an emotional component to your weight. Now, it could be just that this feeling of trying and failing so many times that's causing the nervousness. So, and if that's the case, then you're right. Then just leave it alone. It is what it is. Be really, really patient. Don't take this approach like, okay, this is it. Don't be gung ho about this right now. Don't go, this is it. I'm going to solve it. I've figured it out. I've cracked the code. Don't do
okay
that right now. Just really, really focus on your digestion for its own sake, and nourishing your body. Okay. Listen to the visualizations, but really focus on digestion. Everything we talk about next week, and specifically that you want to take, I would take a few probiotics during the day. I would take digestive enzymes with meals, one that also has hydrochloric acid. I would make sure you're getting fermented foods, such as kefirs and yogurts made out of coconut or nut and seed, and all the fermented foods we just talked about, and sprouts and things like that. Maybe have lots of green juices. Do digestion work and health work right now, and don't be gung-ho like, yeah, this is going to be the one, because that's causing you a lot of nervousness. And I don't know where the nervousness is coming from, if it's just the trial and error thing, or rather the fear of failure thing that has happened so many times, or your body being nervous because you really will lose weight and there's an emotional reason why your body doesn't want to lose weight. So that's
yeah,
you understand? So it's tough to see which one that is, but I would say, regardless, you definitely have serious digestion issues. Stay focused on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, most definitely. And the other thing I would share, I don't know if you're familiar with the specific carbohydrate diet, but I did do that for a couple of years to address some of the digestive stuff, and that's where I had my most weight loss success. I lost 85 pounds.
Yes,
and but it's so restrictive that I rebelled from the restrictions eventually.
Yeah, but so we don't want to do that, but what we do want to do is focus on all the positive things that you were doing, like introducing whatever you were doing to introduce healthy digestion, maybe finding some alternatives. You're already gluten and dairy free, you know, finding good alternatives to gluten and dairy. You don't have to do too much more. If you do all the positive things, everything else will kind of happen naturally. Okay.
That sounds good. I appreciate the suggestion. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. So let's see what we have here. Many. There are unanswered crack questions yesterday. We can keep these for backup. Yeah. Okay. So let me bring Dan in. We're technically out of time. We'll just go a little bit longer because we got lots of chat questions, and we'll go for another 10 minutes or so and try to answer some of the chat questions. Danny, there?
Hi, John.
Hi.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, Safa asks, I want to ask about flax seeds. There are many kinds, roasted, whole, raw, milled, etc. Which one is better? I find it easier with the milled, roasted one.
Yeah, you don't.
And then Shields asks
the
question.
Let me answer that one. So you don't want milled or roasted. Okay, roasted. If you roast your flax seeds, you're going to corrupt the healthy fats. The healthy fats are called the omega-3 fatty acids. They are very, very fragile, and when you roast them or heat them or expose them to air, they get corrupted. When you buy them already ground up, they also start getting corrupted. So the best thing to do is to buy them whole, raw, and then grind them up yourself each day when you need them. I personally prefer chia seeds to flax seeds at this point. There's less phytoestrogens, there's more protein, more calcium, more fiber, and they don't need to be ground. They can be soaked for like 5 or 10 minutes, and you're activating the healthy fats. So you might want to look into chia seeds also. Okay?
Thank you. Safa, she also asks about chia seeds. She's seen that they come in the form of ground, black, white, and in chia bran. She's a bit confused.
Okay, so first of all,
sort of new to her.
Okay, so first of all, chia bran does not have any omega-3s in it. Now, chia bran you can cook with, and it's great as a flour substitute. I make cakes, muffins, pancakes, breads out of chia bran, pizza bases out of chia bran, bagels out of chia bran. I love chia bran as a flour substitute. Chia bran is when you've made chia oil, what's left over is the fiber and the protein. It's called chia bran. I love it for baking purposes. It doesn't have the healthy fat anymore because it's what's left over after you've extracted the fat and made chia oil. White chia seeds and black chia seeds are both good. I wouldn't buy them ground already. I would buy them whole, and you can try soaking them for like 5 or 10 minutes before you serve them, before you can put them on your salads. You can even make a pudding out of it, where you take a little bit of coconut water and some chia seeds and let them soak for a while, and it becomes like a gel, and that's kind of nice. So that's kind of my new thing now, is experimenting with chia pudding. But buy them whole, either white or black, and soak them for a little while. You can ground them if you want, but soaking them for 10 minutes is fine. Okay, Dan?
Okay, thank you. Kristen asks, do you have any thoughts on food journaling? I've thought it a good idea to do, to track my big three, but then realized the danger of falling into old habits and the old dieting mindset.
Yes, it's not something I advocate. There are benefits to it, no doubt, but my biggest focus is to de-emphasize the whole issue. Just focus on mind-body health, nourishing your body, adding. Focus on the adding. Don't weigh yourself. Don't journal your food. Don't measure yourself. Really focus on making your body healthy, your mind healthy, and then the weight comes off so much easier. So I do not advocate journaling.
A question from Marisol. As I look to expand all of my new and informed eating habits to my kids, which are age 4 and 7, I just wanted to know if there are any GM recommendations that are not kid appropriate. For example, I know that with unpasteurized cheeses or things like bean sprouts, there is a concern of listeria for pregnant women, Is that something I should be careful with children?
No, I don't have any suggestions that are not age appropriate. But if you do have any questions, please check with your doctor or natural health care provider about any of the suggestions I make. But really, my suggestions are eating real foods. I mean, let's face it, real fermented foods, there's nothing on earth that's better for a kid. So no, I can't imagine why you wouldn't want to give them to your kid. The hard part is getting, you know, is finding ones that your kids eat. That's always my challenge. I have to sneak health in. My daughter susses it out any chance she can. If she knows that there's health in there, she's gonna rebel at this point. So, but if your kids are eating, you know, wanting to eat healthy, like, you know, and you're finding ways of making foods that are healthy, which that your kids like, which is what we try to do in the recipe book, you know, then go for it because it's great.
Okay, thank you. Susan asks, are we to go from now on to be eliminating all processed foods and starchy vegetables and grains, or just ensuring that we are adding the big three to each meal?
Yeah, no.
Right now, I have not been dieting at all.
Yeah, I want you to... The only caveat I would say, I want you to focus on adding right now with the idea that over time you're going to be craving these healthier foods more and more. So just keep adding and adding. Not restricting. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to lose weight overnight when you're eating all of these foods that cause processed foods that cause problems, but you will get to a place where your body is preferring health as opposed to fake foods. The only caveat I would say is that if right now you are on a diet where you are limiting all these foods, then you need to stay on that diet for a good couple of months while you make these changes, because if you go off the diet now, it's that volleyball out of the water thing. There's nothing I can do about it. If you are in a restrictive diet right now and you go off of it, you'll have a rebound. I can't do anything about that except to say that spend a couple of months, don't make too many changes to your diet, but make sure whatever you are eating is super healthy and live and real and fermented and all these things we're talking about. Doing all the other things to address the fat triggers that we talk about, and then eventually you won't have a rebound once you go off your diet because you won't be craving those foods that right now you are craving. Okay?
Okay. Thanks, John.
Yeah.
Lynn asks, she's in Denmark, so she's actually not listening live at the moment. On top of the chronic pains from car accident injuries, I get pain attacks 1 to 2 times a month due to adenomyosis that lasts for sometimes a few days, but the first day is the worst. I have realized that I get cravings for weird, salty, fatty foods and feeling nauseous. I crave things like pasta with ketchup, cheese and bacon. What is the best thing to do? Would it be good to listen to a feel safe visualization, or do you have any other ideas?
I would say there's two things. One is a safe visualization would be fabulous for you to listen to, but also to find foods, healthy foods that satisfy those cravings. Now, usually when we crave pasta, when you think about what pasta is, you know, pasta has no taste. I mean, let's think about it. Have you ever eaten just a piece of pasta? It has zero taste. It tastes like gummy cardboard. But what does taste good is the pasta sauce and the Parmesan and the smells and all these kind of things. So a lot of times I'll make pasta where I'll take just zucchini strips. You can put them through this kind of shredder that makes these zucchini strips, and then I'll have a really good, my favorite pasta sauce, which could be a spaghetti bolognese. It could be an Alfredo made with coconut milk instead of regular milk. It could be something like that. The bacon is okay to have. And I would just try to find these odd combinations of foods. You can make a healthy ketchup. In our recipe book, we have healthy ketchups where we're using coconut palm sugar instead of regular sugar. So you can combine foods, you can just substituting certain ingredients, making them really healthy and having these weird combinations and getting what you really want. The salt, for example, you can use healthy salt, Himalayan salt crystals, Celtic salt, loaded with nutrients, your body's loaded with minerals, your body's craving trace minerals. So have healthy salts and you'll revitalize your trace minerals. So go with your cravings, but make sure that you're substituting really healthy foods instead of the dead lifeless ones and see how that goes. Okay.
Okay, thank you. This is a really, really good question. I'm not sure of her name, because she signed in as Jason, which is obviously her husband. So this is Jason's wife. I joined the site under, I know a large part of my weight problem is due to my job. I'm in the military, where I actually am required to be weighed twice a year. I've always been overweight and am therefore taped. They put a tape measure around my neck, waist and buttocks and apply a formula. As I said, I've always been overweight. I pass the tape test by the skin of my teeth, sometimes just because the person taping is inaccurate. Now that I've passed the age of 40, I've maxed out the increased max allowable and I'm 40 pounds overweight by their standards. The consequences of failing the weight test can be career ending. So each time I end up doing a crash diet or fasting of some kind in order to scrape by. This completely ruins my goals of health, and afterwards I go crazy with cravings and relief. I'm so tired of this, and I really need to just make the weight and put this behind me. Do you have any recommendations for me?
Well, I mean, it's a tough situation, because what you've taken the whole weight issue, which is already a very challenging and debilitating issue for people, and you've taken it up a notch, so that your career is added on top of it. So the suggestions that I have for you from a weight perspective aren't any different than what I'm giving everybody. It's just that you've got an added stress here. So I don't know if it's possible for you, but I'm wondering if the military will allow you to take a year off, or 6 months, a year off, and focus on all these principles I'm talking about in terms of visualization, rejuvenating your digestive system, and total mind-body health, as we're talking about, and then you won't have a problem going forward. But where you are now, it's an unsustainable situation, because the crash yo-yo dieting is just going to make things worse and worse. So that would be my suggestion, is if it's at all feasible for you to take a sabbatical and really focus on mind-body health and wellness, so that going forward, it's not an issue anymore.
Okay, thanks, John.
Yeah.
Lex just wants to know, do you have a meditation or a visualization that I can do while I'm walking?
Yes. So when you're doing the visualization in the morning, you're visualizing your ideal body, and maybe imagining it throughout the day. So you've made a connection with your ideal body. Then when you're walking to work, just imagine you're in your ideal body. Like, as you're walking, every movement you do with a fit, toned arm, and your waist is toned. Whatever the movements are, you're moving and imagining you're in your most perfect ideal body. You can do that whenever you think about it. As you're sitting at your desk, whenever you are thinking about it, imagine your body in its ideal shape. And because you've created that connection in a deep state when you're doing your visualizations, it will yield positive results while you're doing your while you're walking to work. And Dan, I just want to remind you to mute yourself while I'm doing the answer, because the keyboard clicking is coming in.
Okay. Sorry, John.
That's okay.
Go ahead. Okay, Stephanie wants to know about microwaves. How does microwaving food affect the digestive process and healing?
Do you
recommend not using?
I recommend not using a microwave. Microwaves change your body on a molecular level, microwaves change your food on a molecular level, and then it makes it very, very difficult to digest and assimilate. Most of the nutrients get destroyed, so that you're not getting nutrients in your body anyway. And your body's just not used to digesting something that's been altered in this molecular way. So it's a disaster, and I wouldn't even microwave my water to make tea, quite frankly. So if you can find alternatives to that, I would suggest it very strongly. Okay, Dan?
Okay. Thanks, John. Sharon just wants to know about nuts. Should there be a limit to the amount of nuts that we have per day because of the omega-6?
Yeah, so having too many nuts can cause inflammation because of the omega-6. That is very true. The first thing I want to say about nuts is, if you can activate them, they're much healthier for you, much easier to digest, and you'll want less of them because you're really nourishing yourself. Because around the nut is a coating that has something called enzyme inhibitors that inhibits your body from digesting it. So when you soak nuts overnight and then either dry them or dehydrate them, the dehydrating makes them crunchy again. But the soaking activates them, makes the nutrients much more available. So when you activate the nuts, you don't want as many of them because you're really nourishing yourself. But I would mix the nuts with the seeds. So seeds tend to have more omega-3s, like chia seeds, sesame seeds have a little bit, hemp seeds, and flax seeds. So make sure you're getting an equal portion of the seeds to the nuts. Otherwise, you're going to be getting too much omega-6s to omega-3s. That's going to cause a problem. Okay, Dan?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Maureen asks regarding chia seeds. Does it matter if they are raw? Obviously, she's seen them. She can buy them as cheaply as a dollar or as expensive as $18. The $18 packet said raw, and I'm not sure about the $1, but...
Most chia seeds typically cost, I don't know, I think they cost about $30 a kilo, so probably $18 a pound. Chia seeds have to be raw. I don't know what those $1 chia seeds are, but I'm very sus on that. Chia seeds usually cost about $18 a pound, so that's about the right amount, right cost. They do have to be raw, and then again, you need to soak them or grind them, but I don't know what that other thing is, so I'm a little bit sus on that.
Mm. Okay. Jean wants to know, should we be aiming to take omega-3 supplements with each meal, or ultimately is food the best option rather than a supplement?
Start with the supplement, but food is the best option. So in my meals, I'm going to have some chia seeds or some flax seeds with my salad. I'll have some cold water fish. I'll eat lots and lots of green leafy vegetables, tons of them, and green leafy vegetables have omega-3s too. So ultimately the best solution is your food, but certainly start with supplementation too.
Okay. Taj wants to ask about the recommendation to have apple cider vinegar with warm water in the morning.
Yeah.
Does the warm water not kill the mother in the apple cider vinegar?
So don't make it too warm. You know, don't make it boiling. It's a good question. Just a little bit warm. Just warm like tap warm. But don't use tap water. But you know, make sure it's water that's not chlorinated, but just warm water. Or
okay.
If you want hot water, then use it with lemon. Yeah.
Okay. Two more questions regarding water, actually.
Yeah.
Kirsty wants to know. I know tap water is not recommended. Is a Brita filter adequate then?
It has to. At the very least, it's got to filter out chlorine and fluorine. So those kill friendly bacteria. So whatever your filter does, it needs to do that. Okay.
Okay. And Pat asks, what's your thoughts on bottled water?
Yeah. So, if it's glass bottle, it's much better. Most bottled waters are filtered water, which is fine. As from a quality standpoint, it's good enough. If it's glass, it's much better. If it's plastic and it's a thin type of plastic, that's not great. What I do is I have these big 15-liter plastic containers that get delivered to my house every 2 weeks, and that's a more sustainable way to have bottled water. The plastic's a thicker plastic, so there might be some less leaching. Obviously, you want a plastic that's BPH-free if you can get it. Those biphenyls cause a lot of problems with weight, and they cause problems in a lot of different ways, so you want as little plastic as possible, especially plastic that doesn't have BPH. These larger ones are sustainable because you're giving the bottle back and the empties, and they're giving them. And there's also a cheaper way to get water. So if you're going to do bottled, that's the best way to get it, is in those big 15-liter containers, and arrange with someone to deliver them every couple of weeks for you. Okay.
Okay. Audrey wants to know how is it possible to find real fermented foods in winter?
I don't understand the question. Why can't you find real fermented foods? You're not going to find them outdoors. You're not going to find anything outdoors. But
no, I think what she's meaning is they've just, I suppose they're not fresh.
Yeah,
but then that's the point of fermented.
Yeah, I mean, fermented foods can last, have a longer shelf life because they're fermented, and it's actually that bacteria is actually preserving it. So that's not a problem. You're not going to have as much, naturally you're not having the food that's live is not going to be local. There's not much choice around that. but have more soups also, which is fine. But the fermented foods you can still have and you can still get. They're usually in the refrigerated section of your health food store, and they usually have a long shelf life because the fermentation preserves the food in a healthy way.
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
Jennifer asks, when you visualize, do you visualize yourself from your eyes or yourself as in third person, like a movie?
They both work. So there's different ways to visualize. One is you can just imagine you're in your body and your weight is shrinking. And that's one type of visualization, and that works really well. Another is you're looking at a movie of yourself. And I find them both work. They both work really well. And so if you'll notice in my visualizations, I usually incorporate both. So what'll happen is you'll get to a certain point where you'll imagine the weight melting off of your body, like being sucked into your navel or whatever different thing falling off, and you're sitting there in your most ideal body, you're feeling it, and then you imagine going for a walk or being at work or doing different things, and you imagine that as a scene that you're looking at. Both of those speak to your brain in a way that makes your brain understand that this is the way you're meant to be. So I recommend doing both, and the visualizations incorporate both. Okay? Dan?
Thanks, John. Stephanie asks, I'm aware breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but sometimes I wake up and I'm not hungry until later. Should I wait till I'm hungry, which can sometimes be lunchtime, or should I have breakfast anyway?
That depends on whether or not you have junk food cravings. If you get junk food cravings in the afternoons or evenings, then you got to eat breakfast within an hour and a half of waking. Because you have to change, you have to start keeping your blood sugar stable. If you don't get junk food cravings, then you can eat whenever you want. That's the acid test. Typically, when people have weight problems, they're not able to stabilize the blood sugar. They're not hungry during the mornings, and they're hungry at night, which is the worst case scenario. But it comes from a reversal in the cortisol diurnal cycle, and that's a reaction to stress. We're trying to reverse all that by kind of almost forcing yourself to eat about an hour and a half upon waking. But again, you get to a place where the fat triggers get turned off, and then you are naturally not craving sweets, and you're naturally not hungry because your body really wants to lose weight, and then you don't have to worry so much. But in the beginning, you do have to be very vigilant about eating in the morning and keeping your blood sugar stable. Okay? I think we're almost out of time.
Thanks.
I know there's another. How much time do we have, Aaron? We have 4 minutes. Do you want to try to put? All right, let's put this caller on. We got 4 minutes. We got one more caller. Dan, thanks very much, and we'll answer all the other questions.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Any other questions you have from the chat rolls or in the sites? We're going to answer. We're getting lots and lots of questions, so it will take us a few days in some instances to get to all of them. We'll do the best we can. We will have another Ask John call in a couple of weeks, so watch your calendar and check the member site to find out when the next one is. We have our core lessons next week, 2 core lessons, and another one tomorrow. So please check all those things. Check your action steps. That's the most important thing, is just to follow the action steps. Okay? Let's bring the caller in. Who is it? Okay. Hello? Is there a caller? Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to know. I was told that we should drink half the amount of ounce of water. I have my body weight.
Yeah.
Of the amount of ounce of water.
Yeah.
That would put me around 300 ounces of water. That's a lot of water.
How many ounces?
That would put me around 320 ounces to be exact. Of water, if I was to drink half of my body weight,
I would say two things. One, I would say try to drink at least 8 to 12 glasses of water a day. Can you try to do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I also want you to email my assistant Denele. You can email help@thegabrielmethod.com. Tell them that I want to speak to you, okay? So I would like to speak to you.
90 seconds.
We just have a minute left, so we don't have time. So email okay. help@thegabrielmethod.com, help.
Okay.
And tell them I want to speak to you. We don't have enough time, and I want to spend time with you, okay?
That'll be fine. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. So we just have a couple of seconds, and the show's going to stop. So thanks very much, everyone. Keep going. Check the action steps, and then check for when the classes are coming. There's lots of information coming, but just stay focused on the action steps. That's the most important thing. There's not a lot of them right now. There's a morning visualization. There's an evening visualization. Drink a lot of water. Try to get a probiotic. Eat lots of salads. Try to have some chia seeds with your salads or some omega-3s in some other way. That's all you got to do right now. And then over time, we're going to go and develop some more habits. Next week is digestion. I'm really excited about that. So we'll keep going. And thanks very much, everyone. Take care.